T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You have all the mock drafts and wherever they come from, and the mock drafts, and people have an expectation of what you're going to do, and usually people expect it to pretty much go like that, you know. And but we have a very detailed process as we go through it. And we have a lot of people that work really hard, and again, we have a long way to go in this draft. We're very excited. And,
yeah, there is a long way to go in the draft. That was after, I think, the first pick there, when Terry Fontenot was talking to Dukes and Bell after the pick of Michael Penix here. They stayed true to their board. They had Penix as the number two player on their board behind Caleb Williams, number two overall. So, again, staying true to their board, best player available. You can't pass up a guy that you believe is going to be a star quarterback. They valued him more than Jaden Daniels. If the Falcons had needed a quarterback, the Falcons would have been if they had needed a quarterback, of course they didn't. That's the issue that we're talking about here, that immediately they don't. Hopefully they don't for the next couple of years, because the only way they will is if Kirk Cousins is either really ineffective, which I can't see, or he's hurt, and we don't want that. But if they had needed a quarterback, everybody in town would be jumping up and down over this pick. Noel White is our executive technical producer. Noel, you just told me in the break that you thought they were going to draft Penix?
Yeah, it was something about the conversation that you had with Joe Patrick, our 929 The Game Falcons insider, last week. And I just kept churning it over in my head. And, you know, they went all the way out there to watch him. And, you know, Terry has been true to best player available every draft that he's done so far. And you get more and more of these tea leaves, and you kind of have a decent idea of what Raheem Morris wants the team to look like, his vision going forth. And I don't know, a lot of those tea leaves just kind of brought me to Michael Penix Jr. Because the unique thing about Raheem Morris, to me, being here and being the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons now, is that he was here before. And so he saw a lot of the mistakes that maybe caused some downfalls, or maybe, you know, we went right in a situation where he might have went left. And now he's kind of, you know, molding it in his image, and we're kind of seeing some different things that maybe he would have done versus what we did, like not having a real succession plan for Matt Ryan, for instance. I feel like going to get Kirk Cousins and giving him the money and then getting Penix kind of reset that situation, because that's what a lot of people wanted to happen with Ryan when he still had, you know, 80, 90 million on the contract. And they wanted him to go get Justin Fields and sit behind him for 2 years. So I feel like you just reset that button. You realize you might have made a mistake with the direction you went. You came back, you hit the reset button. And I feel like a Michael Penix Jr. has a lot to do with that, on top of everything else Terry and Raheem already said.
So your reaction, 404-726-0929. If Noel had said, you know, tweeted out Ruka Roro is the next pick, I would have been, oh, my God, geez, I pray. Oh, my God, crystal ball. You know, put her on Cobb Parkway somewhere with a hand in the air, you know, and Miss Cleo is back with it, because I had no
idea. Wish, yeah, my jaw was on the floor with everybody else on that one, especially with the trade up. Yeah, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, I was saying, oh, they're going to get Kool-Aid, else. They're going to get Cooper DeGene. No, we're getting Ruka Roro. And all of us went, Wait, hang on, who?
I'm trusting they did their homework. I'm starting to see good things on them. So.
Yeah. Very busy Saturday here. The Braves tonight, just to throw in a couple of things here. Of course, draft coverage continues at noon and at the top of the hour with Squid and Mike Johnson, noon to four, rounds four through seven at the moment. The Falcons have four picks, including the ninth pick of the fourth round, so should be, you know, from the beginning at noon, sometime in the first 15 minutes, they'll get another pick here, a half hour at the most, because it'll go really quick once we get into round four. They'll start drafting. The Braves just keep on winning. I mean, if you had said, no Spencer Strider, yeah, he's gone. No Sean Murphy, he's pretty much been out for the entire season, right? I mean, one at bat. And by the way, Acuna's going to steal bases, but that's pretty much it. And then Riley and Olson, yeah, no, they're not going to do nothing. Ozzy's going to miss a huge chunk. It's great to have Ozzy back. And so I don't know what to tell you. 18-6. 18-6. They just keep winning. Hey, Marcel, you know how you suck when you start the season? Don't suck this year. Okay, 31 RBIs. 31 RBIs in 24 games. What one of those pace things? He's on pace for 172. I mean, whatever it is, you know. Golly, jeez. So the Braves will play Cleveland again tonight. And by the way, Cleveland—it's not like Cleveland stinks. Cleveland has the best record in the American League. You wouldn't know it based on ESPN's coverage nonstop of the Yankees and Dodgers. But Cleveland got the best record in the American League. United tonight on the road at Chicago. Our coverage begins with Abe and Garrett at 7:30. Kick at 8:30 our time. Mike and Jason on the call. Soldier Field. Atlanta United has only won one time in its history in Chicago. Only once. You know, so we'll see what they have tonight on Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, back to this. A quick shout out to Detroit. I would love to have the NFL draft here, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to have the NFL draft here? How about 275,000 people in 275,000 people in attendance on day one, 230,000 for day two, and they'll probably have close to 200 again today. Or at least well north of 100 for rounds 4 through 7. Good heavens. Shout out Detroit. Well done. We go to Yo and your reaction. Yo, what up?
What's going on, Mr. Frique?
Oh, well, what you got for me, brother? What are you thinking here?
You know I'm happy. I'm happy that they got the kid. Obviously, you and I had talked about it a couple of times, so that was really satisfying. I was a little thrown off by Rook, but now that you start looking at him and it's like the size, the weight, the athletic ability, and I was just looking at their complete roster, and it's like that D-line is going to be pretty big, especially in a 3-4. Obviously, they're expecting Troy Anderson to come back and contribute, but I thought that the pickup of Kevin King, the 6'3 cornerback that used to be with Green Bay, I think that their plan right now is to stick him on the opposite side of A.J. Terrell. And now that they have pretty much solidified everything, they're going after that defensive backfield. And I'm weirded out by some of the Falcon fans because they are so SEC-centric, if you will. Like, they don't see any other players outside of the SEC as being worthy of drafting. But, you know, Raheem has spent the last couple of years out in Los Angeles, and so he's gotten to see a lot of those West Coast teams. So I really do have a lot of faith in him, and I'll leave you with one question. Do you remember Deron Bland in college?
I mean, I know the name. Do I remember him as a player? Not
He's
much.
The guy
Why?
Who had 9 interceptions for the Cowboys last year and 5 pick-sixes, which is an NFL record.
I mean, again, and of course, and you know, the only reason I hate doing that, I mean, I obviously he had a big year last year. I don't remember him in college. Is that, you know, I'm very careful about, you know, pointing to successes or failures of the past because it's on the individual. And so I understand that people want to have hometown heroes they can cheer for. And that's something that I kind of understand. And if it works out that you can have both, that's great. We know certain trend lines. Now, the trend lines don't matter. Now, thank you, Yo. I always appreciate talking to you, bro. The trend lines don't matter right now. But the trend line, because you've got a brand new coaching staff, right? And a new scheme on both sides of the ball with Zach Robinson, Jimmy Lake, Raheem Morris. It's going to be new, so the trend lines don't necessarily matter, but they're just trend lines. And one of the trend lines that has happened with the Falcons is that they have pretty darn good success drafting guys from Clemson. Okay, they just have. They have not had great success in round two, which is putting one trend line against the other, because even though Bergeron was a second-round pick, they've had a lot of busts in the second round over the last 5, 6, 7 years. A lot of Duke Rileys and Jalen Collins and a lot of guys you were hoping would be immediate contributors who turned out to be nothing, right? So the Rucaroro is an interesting pick in that regard. But if they stay true to their board, they obviously they had a first round value. I think that the Falcons look at their big board and they had first round values on Michael Penix at number two. Okay, just so that you, again, we don't have access. I'm guessing here, but when Terry Fontenot said, "Yeah, you don't know what's coming here," they had a first round value on Rucaroro. They wouldn't have moved up to get him. And not up eight spots. They had a first-round value equal to or greater than Dallas Turner. I mean, because in terms of value, I mean, in not different position, but in terms of value, right there alongside Dallas, you know, not Dallas Turner, Rucaroro, we value him, you know, in somewhere in the first round. I also think that they had a first-round value on Braylon Trice, or at least a high second, that they think they got great value in Aurora and Trice. Great value. And so, again, we'll see. Because who you have to play who do you trust, right? Who do you trust? Do you trust Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, Jimmy Lake, the scouting department of the Atlanta Falcons, and their board? Or do you trust, you know, Joe Smith sitting in his basement at Bleacher Report, reading, you know, X and saying, oh, I think that, you know, this guy is, you know, I mean, our eyes don't deceive us at times. Guys can either make plays or they can't make plays, right? So you can't just sit there and go, he's got the measurables. We've seen way too many times where a guy had the measurables to be a great, oh my God, he's going to be off the charts. His measurables are just incredible. We've seen this and it turns out he's not a player, right? Ryan Leaf, who I have great respect for now. I talk to Ryan quite often on social media. He and I converse, and you know my background with him. Had spectacular, spectacular measurables. Height, weight, you know, hand size, all that kind of stuff. You know, that we, you know, hear everything you hear about a prototypical quarterback, spectacular. Not good, spectacular. So much so that people said, well, you know, he's going to be better than Peyton Manning. Oh, okay, we saw that worked out. And then there are times where guys who all they do is make plays. Ladd McConkey is not on the radar of fans in, say, I don't know, Los Angeles. Because, you know, I mean, they know Georgia, but they're not really paying much attention to the wide receiver. They know Brock Bowers, okay? That's who they know. They're like, oh, who's the quarterback now that replaced that Stetson dude? Oh, that Beck guy. But in Los Angeles, they're watching the USC. They're not watching Georgia games during the regular season. They'll see, and they didn't see Georgia in the playoffs. Most USC fans didn't see Georgia play at all this year. Not one game. You know, maybe the SEC title game where they lost, and that was it. But we saw Ladd McConkey play. And all Ladd McConkey did was make plays. That's why so many of us were like, oh, my God, if Ladd McConkey's there, let's take him. Because all he ever did, and all he ever, I think, will do in the pros, is make plays. Now, his measurables, are they better than Xavier Worthy at, you know, 3.25 or whatever the hell he ran, you know? No, but all a dude ever does is make plays. We go to Mike here. Mike's on with John. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Doing today, John?
Good, man.
Hey, good, good. Hey, so two things. I want to raise a point, and then I want to ask you a question. So I think the Rucaroro pick actually is not a bad pick because I think he gets to learn from, when I look at his tape, a guy that who plays similar in David Onyemata. So I think that being next to David Onyemata may be good for him earlier in his career. So in hindsight, not a bad pick. But, you know, as far as Michael Penix Jr., I just want to ask you a bit of a wild question. If something doomsday happened to Kirk Cousins, would do you feel like we could actually win playoff games with Michael Penix Jr. today, the way the team is currently constructed? Take it over to you, John.
Well, all right. Is this real wood that I'm knocking on? Nobody should root for Kirk Cousins to get hurt, ever, okay? And I'm loath to even talk about it. I mean, my answer is yes. But, I mean, they wouldn't have taken him again. They valued him as the second-best player on the board. They said he's NFL-ready. They valued him ahead of Jaden Daniels. They valued him ahead of Drake May. And by the way, for good reason. I think I'll be interested, as much as anybody else, 5 years from now. And Michael Penix could be a special cat. So... Again, I'm loathe, because it seems like I'm putting something out there, you know, into the air that I don't want to put into the air. You follow me? Let's go win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I said it. Let's go win a Super Bowl with him. Hey, if you're in the tournament, you're in the tournament. Go win. Coverage continues rounds 4 through 7 with Squid and Mike Johnson, top of the hour. Atlanta United coverage tonight, 7:30, pregame with Abe and Garrett. 8:30, Chicago Fire game in Chicago with Mike and Jason. All ahead on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sports Radio 92 on the game. Coverage of rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft coming up top of the hour with Squid and Mike Johnson. At the moment, the Falcons hold pick 109, which is the ninth pick of round 4 here. And there are a lot of players that are still on the board that, if you're into the whole name value thing, that are surprising to some people. A wide receiver from Oregon named Troy Franklin, a lot of people thought might be, you know, fairly highly taken, you know, certainly a mid-second round at the latest. He's still on the board. Austin Booker, an edge out of Kansas that also people had. Again, this is the experts. This isn't the Falcons and how they rate something. Spencer Rattler still on the board. Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee. Cedric Van Pran Granger, of course, center for the Georgia Bulldogs. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker out of Clemson. And we can't know. You know, somebody mentioned, one of the callers, at 404-726-0929, your chance to react to what you've seen at 406-0929. Would love to have you as part of the program between now and noon. They mentioned Kevin King. You know, Kevin King came in highly touted, you know, going to be a big star, you know, had some injury issues. Hey, but he hasn't played in 3. Okay, he hasn't played in 3 years. So, maybe they look at him and say, yeah, you know, he's going to be – only they know. I mean, they signed Eddie Coleman for like the 14th time, right? And Eddie Coleman hasn't played so much as like a whiff of a down. They keep signing the guy. Will we ever see him play? No, I tell you. No idea. I do know. I think that in drafting Braylon Trice, I think it does indicate that they are done at edge. And when I say done, I mean like really done. Not just in the draft, but in free agency too. There's not Calais Campbell coming back, not Bud Dupree. They're not going out and spending a boatload to get Trey Hendrickson. They're not going to do a deal for, we're going to get a Clowney. They were never getting an Ngakoue. They kind of view it as saying, okay, I think we're done. So will they focus on other areas? You know, do they consider, there are only things that we can't know. Maybe Jimmy Lake and the whole staff there, and Raheem Morris knows a little bit about secondary. He coached secondary, right? The great thing about Raheem as a head coach is his positional coaching experience, not his former head coaching experience, his former positional coaching experience. Remember, he was the passing game coordinator for the greatest passing game in the history of the Atlanta Falcons in 2016. He was the one that coordinated the passing game of that team that scored, 504 points? Close. Whatever it was, whatever the total was. He was also a secondary coach. So, you know, which side of the ball he slides to help, he's got two coordinators, Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson, and whichever side of the ball he slides to, and I don't think he'll necessarily, he may lean to one side of the ball. He may have more confidence, for example, in Jimmy Lake handling the defense than he does in Zach Robinson. Well, that's a poor way of putting it. I think what he's going to lead to positions as a head coach to go in and help the positional coaches in areas where the Falcons might need some work. And I think his first goal, at least in my world, his first goal is at secondary. So if he's going back into the secondary as the head coach, just, you know, in overseeing it and looking at it from a vantage point of what they could do with those five guys back there, we all understand that A.J. Terrell and Bates, that those two guys are fine, right? We all get that. Do they view King as a starter right now? Oh, we're good with that. And in their world, do they view Helms as a guy ready to take that next big step? Oh, we're good with that. Do they view the depth of Phillips? Do they do, you know, the Avery Williams coming back, D. Alford? Do they look at all this and say, look, we're actually better than you think we are in the secondary? Or do they go out and try and get another guy into the mix here, either through free agency or the draft? We'll see on how that all kind of falls out here. Van Pran Granger would be somebody I might be interested in now that Hennessy's not here to have another center on the team. I like what Drew Dahlman did last year. I like how he kind of grew into that role, but that's somebody that I'd look at. But again, I don't know how they view this. Their board is unique to them, and their board is so unique to them that they had Michael Penix Jr. number two. That's why I said last week, I said, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall? I just want to look at the board. Give me 2 minutes to look at the board. And they looked at the board and said, we're going to do what we have done since time immemorial of Terry Fontenot's existence as the general manager. We're going to stay true to that board. Who's the highest rated player on the board when they're Kyle Pitts? Take Kyle Pitts. Who's the highest rated? Bijan Robinson? You take Bijan Robinson. Who's the highest rated? Michael Penix? Take Michael Penix. And then the grades that they had for Rucarororo and Braylon Trice were far higher than where they took them. They were the Rucarororo's grade was even higher than 35. They had to trade up from 43 to 35, and immediately people said, and it was one of the things that we said last night, why didn't they just wait till 43? He would have been there. Oh, no, I don't think he would have been. Because immediately upon taking Rook, a run of defensive tackles came off the board. And I think the Falcons knew that there was going to be a team or two, because I think, what, like eight defensive tackles in round two? They knew that other teams were that had valued Rook, that they were all sitting around. These guys at ESPN and Yahoo and Pro Football Focus and hell knows Bleacher Report, they don't know what they're talking about. They're missing that Aurora's upside is so good. But we in the NFL know that. And so the value of Rucarororo is 35 and up. So much so that the Falcons were willing to trade up. And then I think they looked at Trice and said, he's right there in a league, knows Jimmy's system, has a higher motor. We value him alongside Latu. Alongside. And we're getting it. So they believe strongly that they got value in each one of these three picks above where they were taken. Penix was above 8. Aurora was above 43. Heck, he was probably above 35. And Trice was way above 74. Way above. They had Trice probably in the 30s. So you can walk around and say if your Bleacher Report, oh, this is an F, and they're sitting around a Flowery Branch going, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. And so who are you going to trust? 404-726-0929. How do you value this? Now, I'm just telling you what I think the Falcons' perspective on this is. I'm not saying that's my perspective. I don't have access to their board, and I don't know how this is going to work. I do know that Aurora is going to be a focal point guy, so is Trice. Those two guys especially, because no matter what happens today, what do we all talk about going into this draft? Oh, you've got to get pass rush, right? You got to get pass rush. And so they drafted two guys to have an immediate impact on the pass rush. Rucarororo, Braylon Trice. They're going to have an immediate impact, both of them. It's not like we have time for them to develop. It's not like they're going to be Michael Penix sitting on the sidelines with a surface pad. It's going to be you guys got to go in there and produce for this team right now and help this team. And it's not just Trice, okay? It's not just Trice because he may not start. He may be, a rotational, the next guy in or something like that. I don't know how they'll stack it. I think we pretty much know Zach Harrison's going to start on one side, right? But what if he's behind Zach Harrison on that side? I don't know how Jimmy Lake's going to play this, with Lo Carter and Ebba Cady. Because some guys haven't developed the way we wanted them to develop. Well, I mean, that's kind of unfair, too. But with Ebba Cady hasn't become he's a good player. He hasn't blown up into a star. All right, I think that's fair to say. Same with D'Angelo Malone. Good player, hasn't blown up into a star. Will Zach Harrison blow up into a star? I hope so. Lo Carter's a veteran, right? So I think you're done on that. And if you look at the interior of the defensive line, depending on 3-4 flexing out to 4-3, however they're going to play it, you have a guy now who can help Eddie. Your interior of your defensive line, if you think about 3-4, is probably Rucarororo and Eddie Coleman, two guys that have never played it down for the Atlanta Falcons. So, all right, let's see how this kind of works, And you'll mix and match the defense to the opponent that you're playing. Again, we can't know. I think it's fascinating. I really do. I did not expect to have this conversation with you today. I just did not. I looked at the schedule and said, okay, I'm going to do that little bridge two-hour show to lead up to round four and Squid and Mike and 4-7. I did not have, because nobody did. Okay, there is nobody that had, as we hear the Michael Penix Jr., Rucarororo, Braylon Trice. No. No. I'd be shocked if anyone had, except for apparently Noel White, anybody had Michael Penix, last week going to the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, you work through it and you go, okay, this kind of makes sense from, the standpoint of we have to look to the now and the future, right? The now is you just created, again, 2 years ago, noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez. The worst quarterback room in the NFL. Flash forward, Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., Taylor Heineke. We'll see what they do with Taylor Heineke moving forward. But Cousins, Penix, one of the best quarterback rooms in the NFL. You went from the worst to one of the best. And everybody said, oh, you need a quarterback to win. Okay, so you invest in the position, right? Yeah, but that's 2 years. Well, unless Kirk Cousins isn't, you know, he gets hurt. And suddenly they go, well, why didn't you get a quarterback? Oh, my God. Really? Yeah, but you could have taken a cornerback. Well, maybe they don't value these corner. Their analysis of every player that they grade, okay? I'm sure, look, there are players that they weren't in a position to take that they loved. We all know that. They could have been in love with Ladd McConkey. They could have been in love with, you know, another player, anybody you want to pick that you could have taken here. Olufashinu. They could have been in love with, you know, anybody you want to choose. They just weren't in a position to take them. So you stay true to your board. You go scratch, 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 and you get down to the next line. So in their world of balancing best player available versus biggest needs, we may be, and again, I'm a dispassionate guy out here, overvaluing the need that they have a corner that I seem to think is like the new left guard. They may be saying, John, they're sitting around going, John, look, you're looking at it wrong here. Helms is going to start. We're comfortable. Jimmy's got this. Raheem says, yep, I used to be a secondary coach. I like what I see in Helms. And, you know, Jesse Bates is saying, look, this Helms kid's going to be really good. We're good. Okay, we're good at safety. All right, good. Whew. You know, and now the new festering hole opposite of AJ that we tried to fill last year with Jeff Okuda, that didn't work. They're saying, no, wait, hang on. Hey. You know, King's got serious game. There's a reason he was such a high pick, and he's healthy, and we look at him and say, we can plug Kevin King in and go, okay, all right, we're good. We actually have a guy there that we really like. And that's possible. You know, and I hope it's true, because you walked away from Cooper DeJean. When they traded up at 35, raise your hand. Everybody thought it was going to be like Cooley McKinstry or Cooper DeJean. I did. Oh, they just traded up at 35. And when Oren got the word about who it was, and he tweeted it out about 3 minutes before the pick was made, I went, you traded up 8 spots to get, how the hell do I pronounce this guy's name? What? What are you doing? Interior defensive line. Was that on anybody's bingo card? Hey, you know, the biggest problem with the Falcons, interior defensive line. Well, again, we don't know what they know. You know, are they saying that, you know, Grady's not going to be here in a while? Or are they saying that Rook is better than you think he is? I think all of those things are true. I think everything is true because it's a fluid situation. I expect Grady Jarrett to be 100% and kicking it. I expect Troy Anderson to be 100% and kicking it. But they also want to do, you know, it's something to be said for depth at that position. And again, we don't know the scheme, that the base scheme we hear. They're going to be a zone blocking team. Oh, they're going to, be a 3-4 defense. That's what we hear. But we don't know because we've actually never seen it. So they're getting guys that do fit their scheme, best player available, but also fit what they want to do. Just because we presume that they're going to run some base defense that every other team in the NFL might run, that isn't necessarily the case. They may run a dime against somebody else, and they're okay. Well, you know, we'll be playing Clark Phillips a lot, and we'll be he'll slide into a nickel spot here, and we're going to be okay, and then we're going to run dime because we're playing against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs this week, and we're going to I don't know, beats me. So it's not done in a vacuum. It's not just throwing darts at a board at a name, which is what mock drafts are and what rankings are. Best player available is darts at a board. It doesn't amount to anything. Again, I am a firm believer that the Atlanta Falcons believe that they got value of their first three picks above and beyond where they were taken. I think they think that Michael Penix is a steal. And you're going to find out he was a steal. Now, there are going to be some things, and it has nothing to do with injuries because he's already healthy right now. And by the way, we got 2 more years at a minimum here, right? He could be 100% healthy. his age is a concern, I think, is interesting to people. Well, he's going to be 26 or 27 before he gets a chance to start. Okay, 26 or 27. I'm sorry, does that still give you 10 years? 10? Are we okay with 10? Just saying. 404-726-0929. Coming up top of the hour, Squid and Mike Johnson. Rounds 4 through 7. Where will the Falcons look next? On Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, a few more calls, a few more reactions. I'll turn this over to Squid and Mike Johnson at the top of the hour. Rounds 4 through 7. Again, the Falcons have 4 picks today at the moment. They may trade it in and around here. See how that kind of works out. A reminder, Atlanta United tonight. Our coverage begins at 7:30 with Abe and Garrett on the pregame show, 8:30 from Chicago, where Atlanta United has only won one time in its history in Chicago, with, of course, Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. I ran a poll as soon as the pick was over of Michael Penix. And my reaction was negative, 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 negative. 88% of like 2,500 people, you know, negative, 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 you know, poverty franchise, you guys suck, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine, by the way. I am not here. I have never personally gotten one penny, or not one penny in my entire life from any professional sports franchise in Atlanta. Not one penny have I gotten from any professional sports franchise in my entire career, okay? Just I haven't. Colleges I've gotten, I've been working for colleges. Never gotten a penny from a professional sports franchise in my life. So it's not my job to be, even on the Falcons station, a mouthpiece for the Falcons. I can only tell you what I see and what I understand. And I thought, okay, I understand the reaction, you know, in terms of wanting to win now because I'm a parade over prospects guy. I get that. But I stepped back as soon as they made the pick and I went, okay, let's just examine this for a moment. My first reaction actually was, how does Kirk Cousins think about this? Does Kirk Cousins go, wait a minute now. Are you telling me that I only got 2 years here? I mean, so that was my actual initial reaction. Is that, and I went, they had to bounce it off him, right? Was that when I saw all these, you know, poverty franchises, you suck things, which, by the way, if you feel that way, that's fine. I thought they're true to their board. They believe that Penix, and it's up to him to prove it, is the second best player available in the draft. I mean, they again, value him over where they took him. And I want to just get this straight. We went from noodle arm quitter and DoorDash Dez and the worst quarterback room in the NFL to Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, and arguably the best quarterback room in the NFL in the most important position in all of professional sports, team sports in the world. And y'all mad. Okay. Let's go to Allie. He's on with John. Hey, Allie.
Hey, John, I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate the optimism, man, but I think this is fascinating in all the wrong ways. Just listening to Fontenot on y'all station yesterday, the sheer hubris and overconfidence on their evaluations is mind-boggling to me. I think these guys probably, obviously not Raheem, he probably had some level of conviction on Desmond Ridder and that decision, and if he didn't, then what the heck was he doing with Arthur Smith? So I feel a little sorry for Arthur Blank. He's a businessman. He probably deferred to the football guys, but he should have put his foot down. The Penix thing is absolutely crazy. And your first reaction of what Kirk Cousins, if you told Kirk Cousins up front, hey, we're going to draft somebody at 8, and in an ideal scenario, you're cut after 2 years, you think he signs? There's no trust there. You've undercut your quarterback inside of 45 days or whatever it's been since he signed. It is an absolute disaster for a 24-year-old with two bad knees that you're acting like is, I don't know, the second coming of Matt Stafford. And then lastly, if you listen to Fontenot yesterday, he's talking up Raheem Morris like he's, you know, the second coming of Vince Lombardi. I mean, the guy was an absolute disaster with the Bucs. Now, we don't want to revise all of that.
That doesn't count. That does not count. That does not count. That doesn't count. No, seriously.
And then you're
big
on the offensive coordinator 2016 thing, John. And I know it gets my blood pressure up going every time. He flipped back to defense before he was done here with the Falcons. If he was some sort of offensive minded genius, which you get, which is 3 to 4x more valuable in the NFL on offense than it is a defensive genius, he would have stayed on that side of the ball. Anyways.
No, I'm just saying he has, all I'm saying is he has valuable professional extensive experience in multiple positions. He's not just a one-side guy. That's all. That's the only, that's the only point I'm making.
Because
he's, and he's not going to be running the offense or the defense. He's going to be overseeing and able to help in areas, which I like too. That's the only point I'm making on that.
Yeah.
All right, that's the only point I'm making on that. Thanks, Ali. Do appreciate it. Sorry, Ali, I want to make sure I have time because I'm going to be really short on time here to get to the top of the hour in our live coverage of rounds 4 through 7. Hey, Drew. Drew, welcome to the show. Drew?
Dovetailing onto the last. Hello?
Hey, Drew.
Oh, sorry. You still there? Dovetailing onto the last caller. The injury, I don't want to put bad karma into the air, like you said. Kirk Cousins is coming off of his right Achilles, right?
Yes, an Achilles, correct.
Yeah, it's his right Achilles. It's his throwing arm. And Penix has had two knees and two elbows repair. Or am I mistaken on that?
Something to that effect, yes. I don't have his injury history in front of me. He was dinged up a lot when he was at Indiana, yes.
Yeah, but the last 2 years he's been in good shape. Do you think...
He's played virtually every game. You played nearly 30 games the last 2 years, correct?
Yeah. Since I'm a long-time suffering Falcons fan, and still can't get over 28-3, and I just feel like we've needed... line and O-line and D-line ever since then. You can take a great offensive line and turn a mediocre running back into a great running back just by having
decent lines. Let me ask you this, though. Drew, am I wrong here? Sure. Drew, I think they have one of the right now they have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL.
Well, I'm hoping you're right. I was reading the grading.
I don't think there's any hope. I mean, I think the proof is in the production here. You're looking at Drew Dolman.
Interior three. What do you think about tackle?
Well, I think Jake Matthews still obviously has game, and you went out. Look, Caleb McGarry, I understand. That's why they may have been in love with Olufashinu, but then they went out and got. Will they get a Cedric Van Pran Granger today? I don't know. We'll see what they do today. So one of the reasons you got rid of Jonnu Smith and went to Charlie Werner was to help with pass protection on that side of the ball. We all understand that. I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm saying I think they're better. It's not like they're bad. They're not Chicago Bears bad, okay? I mean, they're a pretty good offensive line. And by the way, if they're going to be running a new scheme, if they're going to be running some kind of, zone blocking scheme, I think you'll see Bijan and Tyler Allgeier bust a whole bunch of stuff, especially when you have a processor back there. I expect this offense to produce on a magnitude of more than a touchdown a game over what last year was, more than a touchdown a game.
But yeah, it only takes a touchdown a game more to be in the playoffs. That was a very sad year last year. I'm just curious about what you think about better interior line on both sides, and how do you coach that up?
Well, I mean, if you look at the defensive interior line, didn't it just get better by Grady Jarrett getting healthy? I mean, you have that.
Sure.
You have Onyemata. You went out and got a guy that you value. Obviously, they value Ruka Rororo as a first-round pick. They wouldn't have traded up 8 spots to get him. They leaped up 8 spots to get this guy. Now, he's going to have to deliver. Sure. Look, the proof of Braylon Trice or Ruka Rororo, we won't know about Penix, is going to be because anybody they draft from today on, the remainder, they're going to be competing for jobs. Hopefully one of them pops. That's great. Those two guys is where the pressure falls, and it may be unfair to them because the guy taken in round one is going to be standing on the sidelines and have hopefully no impact on the team. I mean, because I say hopefully because that the only way he does is if that other guy gets hurt, right? And so hopefully he has no impact on the team. If he does play, it's only because, Kirk isn't a Favre or a Ryan where he says, I'm taking the ball every down. It doesn't matter if we're up by 45. And if they happen to be up in a game by 45, they're going to let Penix get some work.
Sure.
So won't the preseason be really interesting to all of us to watch both of those guys in the preseason? Oh, That's going to be interesting. We haven't even talked about that yet. But the pressure is going to be on Rook and Trice to be immediate impact guys, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other question I have real quick, they talk about how old Penix is. I mean, I'm an ancient guy, so 24 is nothing to me. But then you actually look at, and then they talk about, you know, Brady's still playing it, as much as I hate him, he's still playing at 45 or 110 or however old he is. And Aaron Rodgers playing at 40. But they're downplaying, they're mealy-mouthing Penix because he's already 24. Do you think that's fair?
No, of course not. I mean, if he's really good and you wait a couple of years and you put him in, Aaron Rodgers' stats, what would they be if the Packers had started him right away? He sat for three full years of, that's 100 touchdowns that he doesn't have on his NFL resume as opposed to the quarterbacks. Now, because it's all changed, I appreciate the call, Drew. I want to get Tim in here before we get to the top of the hour. It was, you never played rookie quarterbacks in the NFL ever. And that was in the 70s. And then it started to change, and you were throwing rookies to the fire. Peyton Manning got thrown to the fire, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino. Marino actually had a lot of success his rookie year. Unlike a lot of guys, look what happened to Bryce Young last year. You just start throwing them to the fire. Penix doesn't have to be thrown to the fire. And that may turn out to be a really good thing. It'll be probably a frustrating thing for him because nowadays these star quarterbacks come out of college expecting to start. But I think Penix, given where, he kind of thought he was in the pecking order, maybe didn't think he was going to start. Maybe he thought he was going to be, drafted by a team like, the Falcons. But now we find out that the Falcons say, no, he's the second best player on the board. Okay. All right. Tim, welcome to the show. Hey, Tim.
Good morning. This offseason, not just this draft, but this entire offseason, is a prime example of why the Falcons are the Falcons. The way they've gone about making decisions, and I don't care what they say about how they feel about this guy or the other guy. Obviously, over the last 55, 56 years, and over the last 4 years since Terry Fontenot's been in charge, their evaluation process leaves a lot to be desired. And I don't care about Bijan and his 900 yards, because the team still finished 7-9 or whatever it was, or they've been under 500 since 2017, so they've not won games. They you give a quarterback $150 million, $180 million, whatever it is, you spend the top 10 draft pick on a quarterback, and then they try to compare it to, well, this is what Green Bay did, this is what Kansas City did. The difference is Green Bay and Kansas City were already playoff ready teams. Those teams were already successful. They weren't Super Bowl teams, but they were teams that were already playoff qualified. The Falcons can't even get out of the worst division in football. And they,
right,
go.
So let me ask you this, Tim. Tim, listen to me real quick. I got 30 seconds. What is your expectation for the Falcons this year, right now, as they're constructed?
7-10 again.
Okay, I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for the call. I got to go, Tim. Tim, I got to go. I just wanted to ask. We'll actually talk about that 10 to 2 tomorrow. And, Tim, if you want to call back and spend a little bit more time, but I got to get to the coverage here. I think they're an 11-win team. I think they'll win the NFC South. But we have different opinions here. I think they've constructed themselves a pretty darn good team. But we'll find out. I don't know. We're just guessing here, right, because we haven't seen it on the field. Stand by, rounds 4 through 7, and the breakdown from Squid and Mike Johnson. Coming up live next, again, United tonight. Coverage begins with Abe and Garrett, 7:30. Mike and Jason on the call from Soldier Field of Atlanta United Chicago Fire tonight on your home of the Five Stripes. Our coverage, live coverage of the NFL Draft continues next. My thanks to Noel White and to all of you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.